Rows of old film studio buildings reflected in a shiny gold surface. As the surface turns, it's revealed to be the edge of a shield with the letters WB in its center, against a blue sky. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. The beam of a lighthouse scans a rocky coastline and a calm stretch of water. The sun rises behind the lighthouse and spreads a golden glow across the sky. Castle Rock Entertainment, a Time Warner company. Metallic V-shapes of descending sizes sit within each other. Village Roadshow Pictures. A band performs in a studio against a lurid background. A caption, Pop, Pop Goes My Heart, Atlantic Records, 1984. The singer, Colin, wears a silver shirt, a jacket with the sleeves rolled up, and shades. He spins.
I never thought that I could be so satisfied. Every time that I look in your angel eyes.
Colin, suddenly all in white. He's joined by his floppy-haired bandmate, Alex. Castle Rock Entertainment presents, in association with Village Roadshow Pictures, a Reserve Room production, Hugh Grant, Drew Barrymore, music and lyrics. Against a pinky blue background, the band sways from side to side. In a typical video of its era, Alex pleads with a pretty girl in a hallway, but she shakes her head and walks away.
I can't lose this feeling. These precious moments we have so few. Let's go far away where there's nothing to do but play. You've shown to me that my destiny is with you. And there's no explaining.
As the girl leaves, Colin rushes up to Alex, who's clutching his chest. In the black and white Czech studio, Alex and Colin jump around to the music. In the video, Alex is rushed into an operating theater. His heartbeat monitor flatlines. A doctor shakes his head at Colin, who's devastated. Alex dreams he's with the pretty girl. They stand in front of a rainbow. Alex wakes up to find a busty nurse with a heart-shaped stethoscope taking his pulse. His heart starts beating and everyone dances.
A twist of fate makes life worthwhile. You are gold and silver.
Music by Adam Schlesinger. Editor Susan E. Morse, ACE. Production designer Jane Muskie. Director of photography Xavier Perez Grobe. Executive producers Nancy Javonin, Hal Gaba, and Bruce Berman. Produced by Martin Schaefer and Liz Glotzer. Written and directed by Mark Lawrence. In an office.
Pop was one of the biggest bands of the 80s, but today they're best known as Colin Thompson's old group. Colin, or as he's been dubbed by the Queen, Sir Colin, has gone on to sell millions of records, star in blockbuster films, and create his own cologne, A Whiff of Colin. But here's a question. Can you remember the name of the other guy in Pop? Whatever happened to Alex Fletcher? Tonight, we find out on Battle of the 80s Has-Beens.
A suited guy.
We think it's going to be bigger than American Idol. So what do you think, Alex?
Well, I love it. It's brilliant on so many levels, I don't even know where to start. It's...
Good for you, because some of the people we've approached have had a little problem with the term has-been.
Have they? See, I don't share that. I am a happy has-been, really. It's a very clear statement. I live in the past. Everything good I ever did was long ago, so don't expect anything new or exciting from me now. Really takes the pressure off, especially on a first date.
Good for you. So, we've already taped several shows, and we're going to start airing them this week. And some of the performers include REO Speedwagon.
Speedwagon.
Flock of Seagulls.
The Flock, okay.
Debbie Gibson.
Debbie.
Tiffany.
Ooh, history there.
And Frankie Goes to Hollywood. So, relax.
Nice one. Good, okay, the worthy adversaries all. How many songs would I actually get to perform? I'd like to do two, you know, a ballad and then maybe a more up-tempo number where I get to shake it a bit.
I can't promise any of the acts that they'll be singing.
Sorry, confused. What would we be doing then?
Boxing. That's why the show is called Battle of the 80s Has-Beens. Only the winner gets to sing.
Alex raises his eyebrows.
Oh. Right, gotcha.
A sunny New York street. Alex walks up to the entrance of his apartment building. Willie, the doorman, opens the door.
Afternoon, Mr. Fletcher.
Hello, Willie.
Have a good day.
Yes, well, enjoyed it so far.
In his apartment.
All right, there he is.
Oh, my manager.
All right, listen, I had no idea they meant boxing. Nobody said a word to me, I swear.
No, it's not a problem. I can definitely take Flock of Seagulls. We did a tour with them in 89 and we beat them severely. They cried like little girls.
All right, listen, it's my fault and I hate myself for it, but I'm not upset. And do you know why?
You've been at my liquor.
Because of her.
A magazine.
Cora Corman, biggest star in the world, bigger than Britney and Christina put together. And guess who she loves?
Her country?
You. She's a huge pop fan, and she wants to meet you, Alex.
Hang on. Khan, I've missed you.
Alex, I have Sophie here for you.
That sounds like fun. Who is she?
She's here to do your plants.
But Jane does my plants.
She says she can be in and out in 5 minutes, and this is really the best time for her.
It seems she cannot be stopped. Send her up. So, start again. Cora Corman.
Why do you have a plant lady? Why do you even have plants?
Because, from time to time, ladies accompany me back to the apartment, and one of them once mentioned that plants make women feel comfortable.
Is that true? Plants make women comfortable? Oh, maybe if I had plants, I'd still be married.
Yes, I think that was the problem. Not Susan's affair and raging nymphomania, but your lack of vegetation. Hang on.
Suave Alex opens the door to an attractive young woman with her fair hair tied back in a bun.
Hi, I'm Sophie Fisher.
I'm Alex Fletcher.
You didn't get the message from Jane?
No, I haven't.
She was supposed to call you and let you know I'd be doing your plants for a couple days.
Very nice. Lovely. Well, come on in.
Thank you. I hope you have your own watering can, because Jane told me that everyone had their own, but this last guy, Mr. Werther, about 80, he didn't have his own watering can, so he starts yelling at me and screaming at me in German, Schnell, raus, Schnampe. Yeah. And unfortunately, I'm fluent enough to know what he's saying, and you haven't been cursed at until you've been cursed at in German.
As a matter of fact, I know what you mean. I dated a Fräulein once. Plant stuff is in the kitchen under the sink, and I have my own can.
Oh, well, vielen Dank.
Hi, I'm Chris Riley, Alex's manager.
Oh, Sophie Fisher. Nice to meet you. So, kitchen?
Yeah.
Great.
She walks through.
So, Cora Corman, huh? How great is that? Do you believe it?
Wait. Is it even a good idea? Pros and cons.
Pros. She's a huge star. Great publicity. Terrific money.
Cons?
No matter what you do, in 40 years, we'll both be dead.
Okay, huge star, great publicity, terrific money versus eventual death. Well, I think we have to think about it, Chris.
Okay, good, because Cora is shooting a video tonight. She wants to meet both of us right after, okay?
Tonight? So, she wants to meet tonight?
Yes, tonight.
She pricks her finger on a cactus.
Mm-hmm. You all right?
Do you have a Band-Aid and antibiotic cream?
No. Sadly, I think I've lent out my iron lung.
Oh, okay, well, then I'm gonna go, because, you know, this could get infected, and it's not clotting yet, but, I'm a little hypochondriacal. You can never be too careful. Anyway, I'll come back and finish. So come again. I mean, you live here. I'll come again. I'm gonna go get this looked at. I mean, you should really have a first aid kit. Thank you. Have a good night. I'll see you.
Alex and Chris frown heavily.
Weird.
Don't give her a key.
No. So, you said something about tonight.
Tonight we meet Cora.
The video set is a woodland grotto shrouded in a cloud from dry ice. Cora's a sexy young starlet with elfin features and long shaggy blonde hair. She wears a fancy bikini that looks like it's made of shiny leaves. She wiggles her hips as girls in bikinis and guys in yellow tops and black breeches dance around her. A guy gets down on all fours. Cora sits on him. Alex and Chris watch as she slaps him on the bottom.
She seems like a very spiritual kid.
Yeah, it's nice to see a young woman exploring religion.
There's a temple on the set. Hands held together, Cora slinks through the guys who bow in adoration. Cora reclines on the men who lie writhing in a heap.
And cut.
A guy with dark curly hair walks up to Chris.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Ray.
Hey,
Cora's manager.
Chris Riley.
Nice to meet you.
You know Alex Fletcher.
Ray. Hey, Cora's this way. Come on. Follow me, please.
Cora's sitting in a large red tent.
See, this is Alex Fletcher and his manager, Chris Riley.
We loved the video. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I brought my daughter. She worships you. I'm divorced, but that's another story.
All in black, Cora gets up and smiles serenely.
Mr. Fletcher, it's a pleasure. Your song, Dance With Me Tonight, got me through my parents' divorce when I was 7.
Really? Wow. Yeah, because I recorded that when I was 9, so, yeah.
I want my fans to know the same spiritual uplift that your music gave me.
That would be lovely. I actually have a few tunes it would be nice to update.
Oh, I don't live in the past, Mr. Fletcher. It was so long ago. I want you to write a new song.
Ah, okay.
You see, I recently broke up with my boyfriend. We had been together for almost 2 months. It was a terrible experience. But then I read a book by Guru Madhushabi called A Way Back Into Love. And that will be the title of our new song. And in 2 weeks, when I open my tour at Madison Square Garden, we'll perform it together.
Okay, here's the snack.
We also want to put the song on her new CD, which is pretty much finished, so we need it by Friday.
You're talking about this Friday?
Yeah, but don't feel any pressure. I mean, we've got 7 other retro artists working on Way Back Into Love, so if you blow it, we're covered.
Mr. Fletcher, don't look at this as a competition. If it's meant to be, it will be. It's destiny. Or not.
Alex looks flummoxed. Cora and Ray each press their palms together and bow. Alex and Chris follow suit. On a street...
I can't possibly write a song by Friday. What could she be thinking of?
All right, look. Can I be honest with you?
No, of course not. You're my manager. I have to fire you immediately.
We need this.
Well, let's not be desperate. We have the State Fair's tour coming up at Knott's Berry Farm.
They've cancelled.
Alex wrinkles his brow.
Knott's Berry cancelled?
Look, we're still on for the Indiana State Fair, okay? But Texas and Arkansas dropped us.
The apple picking?
The apple picking festival is a go, but Great Adventure only wants 3 nights instead of 10, all right?
Oh my God, I had no idea. Why didn't you tell me these things?
I'm telling you now, Alex. It's been 15 years since Pop. There's new old acts coming up all the time. Tears for Fears is going on tour. There's talk of a Spice Girl reunion.
Well, that's not my audience.
Ricky Martin.
I'm dead. I'm finished.
No, you're not finished. You're not dead.
I'm going to wind up doing bar mitzvahs.
No, you're not. 13-year-old kids have no idea who you are.
Well, that's good to know. But what about you? You might actually have to take on another client.
Look, don't worry about me. What we got to concentrate on is refreshing your image. Then we'll get Knott's Berry and Great Adventure. Who knows? We might even get Disneyland.
Don't tease me. I'm very vulnerable at the moment.
Tell you something, Alex. You do a song for Cora, and there is a spot for you in the Magic Kingdom, baby.
I'm writing a song. I thought I was done with that whole nightmare.
Just one song. That's all we need. One song.
But it's so...
He stretches, widening his eyes.
Time-consuming, you know? It's...
Chris gives him a look.
And I haven't written for 10 years. And I need a lyricist, and it's never worked with anyone except Colin.
All right, look, I know it's not easy to get somebody good this fast, okay, but there's this guy, supposedly. He's very hip, very edgy. He just worked with Avril.
At home, Alex is at his grand piano. The lyricist, Greg, sits watching him.
I'm so sorry. I'm just a little bit blocked here at the moment.
Look, if you don't like the lyrics, be straight with me, dude.
No. The lyrics are very, very powerful.
Maybe you want something more commercial, more poppy.
I would just hold that thinly veiled himself for 1 second.
Greg's a curly-haired guy with intense staring eyes. Alex opens his door to Sophie.
Hello?
Hey, Con said I could just come up.
They were able to save the whole hand.
I know. I made too big a deal out of it. It's just that I hate infections. But then again, who likes them? Maybe the people who make penicillin.
Oh, yes. Well, there's two sides to every story.
That's true, except for the Nazis. I can't really see the other side of that argument.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. I didn't even see you there. Hi, I'm Sophie Fisher.
Yeah, Sophie, this is Greg Antonsky. He's a noted lyricist.
Really? Well, I don't want to get in your way, and I can see that I already have, so I'm off to the kitchen. Don't tell me.
Greg watches her.
She's kind of hot.
Good. Yeah. Glad you enjoyed her.
She's coming back in here, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so, unless she goes directly back to the mothership. How about... Get it up, I'm a bad hot witch. I look real good, but I'm a nasty bitch. I can scream and claw and curdle your blood, but you'll die on your way back into love.
No. Start in a minor third, try that.
Right, so, Get it up, I'm a bad hot witch. I look real good, but
Come
I'm
on,
a nasty...
you're missing the point. From the first line, give it up, I'm a bad hot witch is okay. But then it should be...
But with some magic, just might switch.
They stare at Sophie, who's watering plants by a window.
Sorry, what did you say?
She turns to them.
I don't remember.
I think it was, but with some magic, I just might switch. That is actually quite intriguing.
That's not my lyric.
No, I know, but it's a lovely phrase.
Look, if you can't handle anything except moon and June, why don't we just let Plant Girl finish the lyrics?
Plant Girl?
Give it up. I'm a bad hot witch, but with some magic, I just might switch. Finish it.
I'm just here to cater to the plants.
And you are doing a fine job, if I may say so. Although, that one is plastic.
Huh? Oh.
It's a waste of time.
Let's fly my broom to the stars above and we'll charm our way back into love.
Alex looks from Sophie to Greg.
What's the next line? Feelings? Nothing more than feelings? People disgust me.
He storms out.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gotten involved. I have no filtering system.
No, that's fine. He had to get back to his job at Hallmark anyway. Listen, have you ever done any writing?
I mean, everybody's done some writing, you know. Well, not everybody. Illiteracy is a growing epidemic in this country. I write slogans for Weight Not, this weight reduction company that my sister runs.
Did you ever hear of the band Pop?
Yeah, of course. Everybody has. My sister Rhonda loved them. They had that ridiculous hair and those ridiculous outfits, and oh my God, you're one of them.
Posters.
That hair was actually very much in style then.
I'm very sorry.
That's fine. But I would love to talk to you about maybe writing some lyrics.
But I don't write lyrics.
Well, we could just kick some ideas around. Repot the ficus.
I don't think so. I appreciate the offer, though. I have to go babysit for my sister now, though. I mean, her kids. You know, she's 38 now. So, thank you.
Okay, listen. Do you know who Cora Corwin is?
Oh, yeah. My niece loves her.
Okay, well, I'm writing a song for her. So if you change your mind and the idea of working with me is of any interest at all, please just call, okay?
Oh, okay,
Or if you just fancy a good laugh, I am performing at the Hilton tonight.
Well, thank you. I mean, but I can't. You know, I'm sorry. I just can't, she says mysteriously. But I just can't. I'm sorry. Thank you for the offer.
Yes.
The lift doors close, leaving Alex looking a little crestfallen. Sophie's on a dance mat computer game. She clears a level and falls over backwards.
Go to the next level, weirdo.
You have to go to the next level.
It's your parents! Oh, get into bed! Get into bed! This is not a drill!
Sophie's niece and nephew Scarper as Sophie holds sister Rhonda and Gary at bay.
Hey!
Hi!
How was the movie?
I enjoyed it.
He fell asleep.
I enjoy sleeping.
How was dinner?
Really nice.
Oh, you know, it's really hard to enjoy dinner when you run a weight loss center. If I get fat, there goes my fiscal year.
Honey, you're not fat.
Well, you're not about to open a branch in Boca, but thank you, sweetie. So, how'd everything go here?
Oh, yeah, good, great. The kids ate and went to sleep. Yeah, they're really bad children.
Okay, everybody goes to bed. I'm sending your father in there.
Whoa, we're so scared.
And then I'm coming in.
I'll just go check to make sure they're still breathing.
Hey, you want to do some stress eating? Just
this
a piece of diet cheesecake.
Happened to me today, and I don't know. I think I'm just going to go.
You're so jumpy tonight.
Oh, you know, I feel a little guilty about something.
How unusual for you.
Okay, listen, I have to tell you. I met that guy from that band you used to like, Alex Fletcher from Pop.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I do Jane's plant service, you know? I'm taking over for her while she's gone, and anyway, she does his apartment, and so I was there. Actually, it was the second time, and he invited me to come see him perform tonight.
Gary, I'm going out! Oh, my God! I love him!
Rhonda flaps away and back again.
That really wasn't the end of the story.
Oh, help me drop!
What?
Rhonda drags Sophie out of the kitchen. A packed ballroom decorated with balloons. Shimmering curtains open under a banner which reads, Roosevelt High School Reunion, Class of 87. Wearing a glittering jacket and loose cuffs, Alex stands swaying and playing to the crowd of women, savoring the moment. He turns his back on them for a moment and gets an approving nod from manager Chris.
I saw you across the dance floor, out of the corner of my eye. I don't know how, I don't know why. I shouldn't have stayed when I saw you there with another man. But as we slipped away, I thought I heard you say this wasn't part of the plan.
A table of men stare at Alex disapprovingly. Chris is swaying along in the wings.
It wasn't supposed to end up like this. Just a meaningless kiss. Just a meaningless kiss. We knew it was wrong, but we couldn't resist.
Sophie and Rhonda enter through a side door. Rhonda's hand is pressed against her ample cleavage.
Girls, tell me the truth. Are these pants too tight?
He sways his hips. Rhonda gives Sophie her purse.
Oh my God, I gotta get up there. Later, too late to turn back now.
Rhonda barges her way through the crowd, waving her hand in the air. Sophie rolls her eyes.
But it's easier said than done.
Rhonda pushes another woman, starting a mini cat fight.
And three hearts are one too many. That's why we shouldn't have ever begun.
The women swoon as Alex kneels and lays back. They then tweak his behind as he turns away from them.
Just a meaningless kiss, you'll fall in love with you.
He gyrates and thrusts his hips, wincing as he gets a little twinge. Chris and Sophie feel his pain, but Alex gallantly keeps up the rhythm.
We can't go on like this forever, when we're not meant to be together. So leave me here. On my own, from no one I guess, I've got to dance alone.
Clearly in pain and sweating profusely, Alex makes his way to the wings and has a sit down. Later, a group of 30-something women, one wearing a Pop t-shirt, are waiting for Alex to sign pictures. He comes downstairs and the women jump excitedly.
Alex, I'm Barbara in Boston in 1989. I came back to your hotel.
For the tour schedule, and the Knott's Berry Farm show is temporarily postponed, okay? Great show, huh? They love you. They're hot for you.
Yeah, of course, they're also hot, because so many of them are going through menopause. Wait a minute. Barbara, from Boston. From Boston? I do remember that, Barbara. I do. I'm going back for one second.
No, that's how we wind up getting chased by angry husbands.
Not necessarily. Hi. Well, hi. Hello. Hello, hello. Very good news, yes. Chris, you remember Sophie?
Planted in my memory.
I just wanted to apologize for being so cryptic earlier. This is my sister, Rhonda.
No, sorry. You were so great tonight.
We've met, haven't we, Rhonda?
Yeah.
We were practically a duet.
I know. Anyway, could I get a quick autograph?
You may, Rhonda.
Could I get a quick picture with you, too?
Only if you're single.
Well, I've been married 16 years, but nothing's written in stone, right? Could you scooch?
Okay.
Thanks.
Also, I really wanted to thank you for your offer.
What offer?
Okay, while Greg, the rhyming psychopath, thanks again for him, by the way, was in my apartment, Sophie spouted some really interesting lyrics.
I thought she was doing plants.
No, I'm holding a pose here.
I appreciate it,
but the truth is, I need a song by Friday, and it is amazingly difficult to find a sane lyricist.
Well, why don't you just write the lyrics yourself?
You know, that's really not a strength of his.
That's absolutely right. I once rhymed you and me with autopsy.
Well, that's not necessarily bad. You could do something with that, you know, figuring
just press
out
the button, honey.
You and me is like doing a love autopsy.
You see? That's quite good.
It's not bad.
Go on. More. How does it go?
I have no idea.
Someone could have sculpted us in this time.
You know what? Let me take it, huh?
They could operate all day long and never figure out what went wrong.
My God, you are Cole Porter in panties. Of course, having said that, Cole Porter probably did wear panties.
Anyway, thank you for inviting us.
Okay, I'm just going to take a real quick one. Let me take it, Sophie! Thank you so much. That was great.
Nice to meet
you guys. Bye-bye.
Chris and Alex exchange a puzzled look. Later, Alex is waiting in Weight Not Diet Clinic.
So, this is where Sophie works, eh?
Yeah, she is going to be right out.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you very much.
He points at the receptionist.
So how much do you weigh?
I fluctuate.
She grins broadly. Sophie appears and waves gingerly.
Okay, look, I am terribly sorry to barge in like this, but I have decided I cannot take no for an answer.
Look, I told you.
I know, you're not a writer. Except when you are writing poems and short stories in the New School Literary Magazine. I Googled you, and you were good.
Look, I'm flattered. I mean, you're one of six people in the world who's actually read those, but that doesn't mean I can write a song.
You already did. 5 minutes, that's all I ask.
A piano shop.
Please, step in. You'll enjoy this. This is a treat. Ah, Mr. Fletcher, nice to see you.
Very nice to see you, Mia. How are you?
Wonderful, thank
you. I just want to get, can I try the new Mason and Hammond?
Absolutely. Be
my
guest.
Thanks. Please. This is just a little something that you might possibly recognize.
Figuring out you and me is like doing a love autopsy. They could operate all day long and never figure out what went wrong. Love autopsy. Love autopsy.
Sophie beams as Alex sits at a grand piano and accompanies himself to her lyrics.
What went wrong?
God, that melody is so beautiful. But I've never written a song.
A song, I know. And if I'm wrong. I just don't think I am. I think you may be a born lyricist.
Evening at Alex's apartment.
Well, we don't have very long, but what I would like to do in an ideal world is continue with the autopsy song. But I think it's going to be very hard to get back from there into Way Back Into Love, which is the title that Cora demands.
Uh-huh.
What we could do is continue with Greg the Angel of Death's version.
That's plagiarism.
Yes. Good, excellent. I would never in a million years use someone else's work, and I'm very glad you agree. So, what we need something brand new.
So let's see, a song for Cora.
Yes.
Has to be called A Way Back Into Love.
Correct.
And has to be something Cora would sing about.
Good.
And has to be something you would sing about.
Good, yeah.
What would you sing about?
Whatever gets me the job, really.
Oh, that's inspiring.
Alex is at the piano. Outside, the evening light fades.
Okay. Two people searching for love, for salvation.
Good. I love that.
Love lost, love found, love lost again.
Yeah, this is starting to sound a little bit like Luggage, but good.
Sophie's staring out of the window at the lights of the cityscape, clicking her pen incessantly. Alex raises one hand to the piano keyboard.
Thanks, that's really helpful.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just spit it out. They're just lyrics.
Just lyrics.
Lyrics are important. They're just not as important as melody.
I really don't think you get it.
You look angry. Click your pen.
A melody is like seeing someone for the first time, the physical attraction, sex.
I so get that.
But then, as you get to know the person, that's the lyrics, their story, who they are underneath. It's the combination of the two that makes it magic. Let's go for a walk.
A walk? What now?
Yeah, out on the streets, you see things and, you know, hear things and eat things. It all sort of unlocks your mind.
Walking down a sidewalk together, Alex checks his watch and turns to Sophie.
This is good. When you hit a wall, you gotta change the subject. So, why did Pop break up? I mean, Rhonda told me that you guys were friends growing up.
We were, yes. And then Colin met a new manager who convinced him he was the true star of the band. And shortly after that, he left, taking with him the last three songs we'd written together and putting them on his solo album, which went on to sell a mere 8 million records.
But how did you deal with that?
With drugs, alcohol, and ultimately my own solo album.
In a record store, Alex finds his CD on special amongst Flying Lesbians and Johnny Fiasco.
Cool.
This copy has been in the racks for 6 years.
Come on.
No, I check every week. You see, I made a little mark just there on the back, see? It sold only 50,000 copies, most of those to my mother. Rolling Stone called it a crass, contrived effort, not even good enough for a dentist's chair.
Well, I'm sure there were other reviews.
There were, but none as good as that one. And they were right, by the way. Yeah. To cut a long story short, I gave up trying to write, lost an incredible amount of money, and then my apartment. Chris stuck by me, booked me an 80s reunion night on Long Island. And suddenly, they liked me again. You know, it was weird. It was like I'd never been away. The audience was a tad older, as was I, but we were very, very profoundly happy to see each other again. And, went on from there. Cruises, reunions, Knott's Berry Farm, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Busch Gardens, that's one of my big fixtures of the year. What else can I tell you?
I really appreciate you opening up to me like this. I know what it's like to live with a shadow overhead.
He raises a finger and opens his mouth as if to speak.
What?
But Sophie's stroking her nose deep in thought.
I've been living with a shadow overhead.
Now that's a nice melody, isn't it?
It's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Mind you, what do you know? You don't even like melody.
I never said that.
But you prefer the lyrics. I don't trust you. Your turn. What's next?
I think that we should get some breakfast.
Now, please, come on. We're finally on a roll here. Listen again.
I've been living with a shadow overhead.
There'll be no more rhymes until I'm fed.
Please, seriously, seriously. I've been living with a shadow overhead.
I could be inspired with just a piece of bread.
I have the perfect place.
Wait a minute.
It's just on the next corner. Okay. Keep moving and keep writing.
All right, I've been looking for someone to shed some light.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah?
Shadows and light. You're deep. Okay, we need two more lines of chorus verse. What's next? So?
Sophie darts behind his back and hides in a doorway.
Sophie? What are you doing?
Nothing. I thought I saw someone, but it wasn't him. So it's fine. Oh, there he is.
What?
It's a very nice picture, though. It's funny. Interestingly enough, I mean, well, it's a bookstore, so
what?
That does happen. Where were we? Shadow overhead.
Okay, can I just say, with all due respect, that you are clearly, what is the word? Insane at this moment. And because, according to Chris, we have less than 36 hours before Cora goes to LA to do Leno, at which point my career is over, it would be infinitely better for me if you were sane. So, how can I help?
He strokes his chin.
Do you know this book?
She nods to a window display.
Sally Michaels? Yes, yes. Big bestseller, yes.
Have you read it?
No, of course not. No, the last book I read was the Alex Fletcher story by the editors of Teen Dream magazine. Why?
She looks sheepishly at a copy of the incredibly true story of Sally Michaels.
I'm Sally Michaels.
She looks down. They sit in a coffee shop.
I saw that they were, you know, giving these courses on writing at the New School, so I signed up. And my teacher was Sloane Cates. Brilliant. Handsome. The truth is, I was in love with him. We began spending every minute together, which is why I was sort of surprised when his fiance showed up. Yeah, he never mentioned that he was engaged to a history professor who was on a year-long sabbatical in Spain. And when she popped in for an unexpected visit, it sort of turned into a reenactment of the Inquisition.
And that was that. That was the end of that.
Yeah, we never saw each other again. I dropped the class, and a year later, his new novel showed up.
The Sally What's-It novel?
The tale of a student with exalted literary aspirations who lures a brilliant writer into an affair so she can take advantage of his connections. But when he tries to break it off, she devotes herself to ruining his life.
Well, I mean, that obviously wasn't you.
Well, she's a lit major from Long Island, 5'4", my color hair, all my habits, you know, talks to herself and asks too many questions, and her parents founded a weight reduction company that now her sister runs. Well, anyway, since then, every time I pick up a pen, I'm haunted by those words that he wrote, you know? She was a brilliant mimic. You know, she could ape Dorothy Parker or Emily Dickinson, but stripped of someone else's literary clothes. She was a vacant, empty imitation of a writer.
First of all, you can't listen to some jerk.
He's not a jerk. He's a National Book Award winner.
Well, then, get the best revenge. Write a hit song.
Honestly, I don't think a pop song is going to impress Sloane Cates.
Oh, no, of course not. No, because pop is just for morons. Forgot that.
I didn't mean
brain
anything
dead.
By it.
We'll take too many drugs. You know what? You know what I would say to you and to Mr. Sloane Cates? I'd say that you can take all the novels in the world, and not one of them will make you feel as good, as fast, as I got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I got the month of May. That is real poetry. Those are real poets. Smokey Robinson, Stevie Wonder, Bob Dylan, the Beatles.
Okay, what if one of your heroes came up to you and said, you know, Smokey, what if he said, Alex Fletcher, you are a horrible songwriter. How would you react?
Well, first of all, I do know Smokey a little bit, and he's far too nice a gentleman ever to say such a thing. Dylan would, actually.
Okay.
Dylan did.
Dylan, walks up to you and he says, you are a horrible songwriter. How do you react?
I would be horribly depressed. Yes, I would. I would. But then, after, you know, months of brooding, I would find a lyricist and write a song about how horribly depressed I was, and it would be a big hit and everyone would love me and I'd make lots of money, and suddenly I'd be a lot less depressed than if I just sat around being a little bit self-indulgent and letting my misery eat away at me until I'd become an emotional wreck and creatively completely moribund.
She looks quizzical.
Yes, moribund.
She grins playfully and sucks at her straw.
Okay, let's go. Come on.
All right.
I've been living with a shadow overhead. I've been sleeping with a clown above my bed. Clown is not right. What is that word?
Cloud.
Well, write more clearly. How can I possibly
read? Why would you have a clown in your bed?
Let me tell you, it would not be the first time.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Just write in capital letters, because
I'm really sorry,
we're going to come back.
Fine, you write it.
Yes, you dictate.
Fine.
I'll write, and I will write like a human and not like a small Pekingese dog. What are you doing, you mad woman? You're destroying my apartment.
Oh, I can't write from across the room.
Well, you're not writing here. Get back. Get back to your corner. I can't have you here. I'll be blocked. I'll be completely stuck.
So go out the other side.
I've never been the other side.
Push! 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 Push!
They wheel the grand piano to the center of the room, and Sophie flops in a chair nearby.
Good. Better. Still a fraction close. Just back off. Just one... There, fine, good. Okay.
Night falls. Sophie's making coffee.
And I don't think those chords are right.
Oh.
It has to sound different than the verse.
What kind of different did you have in mind?
I don't know. Something sadder, you know? And I still don't like my line about places in my mind.
It's fine.
Fine isn't good.
We only have time for fine. I tell you what, look, you will change your line about places in my mind if I can keep the chord sequence into the bridge, yeah?
This isn't a negotiation. It's either right or wrong, inspired or insipid.
I tell you what it is, it's 4 a.m. and we're not writing the last movement of the Jupiter Symphony. It's a song for someone whose last hit was called Welcome to Booty Town. Please, get back to work.
Still don't like it.
Well,
and it's entering right. Booty Town.
He spits his coffee in the sink.
And another thing, the whole top section.
I mean, it's so close. We're just not there yet. We have to focus and stay, you know, completely understanding of what we're trying to say.
Okay, you may now start killing the next one.
Morning, and Sophie idly drowns a plant in the lobby.
All I wanna do is find a way back into love.
Alex is singing to Con, the doorman.
I can't make it through without a way back into love. Oh.
Alex gestures at Con. Con points to his ear.
You know, I'm tone deaf.
Alex and Sophie look glumly at each other. Back at Alex's apartment, Alex is wearing headphones and sitting at an electronic keyboard. Beside him, a monitor shows the sound waveform as it records him playing.
Hey, what do you think of this?
Just keep writing. Cora is leaving in an hour.
Sophie sits on the edge of his bed and looks slightly surprised to find it's a waterbed. Alex lays down each track, playing a bass guitar. Then the acoustic guitar, and then tapping out the rhythm track on the MIDI keyboard. Sophie approaches.
Listen, I was thinking that corners was such a better word than spaces. For in the mind, the corners of my mind rather than the spaces, it just seems to have a better boundary to it.
But Alex is focused on the music in his headphones. Sophie listens while Alex tweaks the sounds.
It sounds so good. You believe it.
And now, vocals. No, you see, you have to sing into the microphone. It won't follow you.
But I can't.
It's a duet for a man and a woman. We are as close as we've got. Your headphones and a level. You look nice in those. You should wear them all the time. How is that? Yes?
Okay!
Shh, shh, shh.
It's okay.
And...
he joins her at the mic.
Way back into love. Take one.
I'm getting really nervous.
You'll be fine. You just use your normal, nice voice that I've heard so much of in the last 3 days.
It's like, my throat's closing up. It's like anaphylactic.
It's fine. It's just a 3-minute song. Just a little bit louder, because this song is intended for humans, okay? Way back into love. Take two.
They smile at each other as they sing. They rush out of the block to hail a cab.
Hey, hey, Jackie! She's gonna have a baby!
Hey, what if that were true?
Another one.
A taxi speeds down the brightly lit New York streets. The taxi pulls up by a waterfront heliport. Two black luxury cars and a helicopter stand ready. Cora, manager Ray, and producer Derek get out of one of the cars.
Oh my God, it's Cora.
Okay, stay calm.
See, you remember Alex Fletcher?
Oh, I see.
Hi, Alex.
Sophie Fisher, my lyricist.
Hi. Aspiring lyricist, actually. So Ray tells me you have a song.
We do, a little ditty. It's just a rough... yeah, go ahead, take it. Help yourself. Are we going to do it now? Great, great. No time like the present. Very rough, just put together in my little studio. Both of us singing.
She's gonna hear my voice, it's gonna ruin it.
It's gonna be fine, it's gonna be fine, it's gonna be fine.
Derek pops a CD in a player. Cora dons headphones and closes her eyes.
So anyone see Battle of the 80s Has-Beens the other night? Debbie Gibson, she can take a punch, huh?
He looks nervously around as Cora continues to listen. He turns to Sophie.
Huh? I didn't see it.
Sophie, Ray, and Derek, a massive bear of a guy, watch Cora intently. Alex shifts nervously, his hands planted firmly in his brown suede jacket pockets. Cora's eyes remain closed and her face expressionless. As the whine of the helicopter turbine picks up, Cora finally lifts the headphones off. She passes them to Derek and glances with a neutral expression at Sophie, then Alex. Cora strides towards Sophie and puts her arms around her shoulders, then does the same to Alex. She walks back and takes her place between producer and manager, then smiles.
This is the song I've been looking for. Right. I can't wait to work on it.
Congratulations, guys.
Well, we got a book.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Looking forward to working with you guys.
Congratulations.
Alex wraps his arms around Sophie and she throws her arms around his neck as he lifts her off the ground. He grabs his mobile as the helicopter lifts off.
To Sophie Fisher, the woman who paved my way back to Knott's Berry Farm.
Gloria, I love your dress.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to clean up after a day of work.
Oh, yeah. Where do you work?
I'm a therapist at Columbia Presbyterian. At the moment, I'm working on a study examining the relationship of...
Sophie's spotted Sloane Cates.
What is it? What? Sloane?
Mr. Cates, good evening. How are you?
Sophie puts her head in her hands, then, ducking low, makes her way from the table as Sloane's party makes their way to their table.
Hey,
She grabs a menu and hides behind it, then quickly drops to her knees and crawls between tables before hiding in the restroom.
Is she all right?
Yeah, she always does this. It's her way of working up an appetite.
Chris and Gloria watch as Alex makes his way to the ladies' restroom and speaks through the door.
Hello? Sophie?
He's at the bar.
No, I know. I saw him. He's not that great, you know. Yeah, I saw the beginnings of a bald patch. Well, come and have a look.
Oh, he has a great head of hair. I think I'll just stay in here until he leaves. Maybe you could send in a salad and an iced tea?
Right, I'll get the waiter. Would you like to see the dessert cart as well? Look, this is ridiculous. It's...
I've been dreaming about confronting him, too. I have a speech prepared for over a year.
Would you like to hear it?
Very, very much. Hello there, good evening.
He follows her inside the ladies, nodding to a passing diner.
Sloane, even though Sally Michaels only lives on paper, I live in the world. And I can never forgive you for using me as raw material to create a fictional monster. Sally Michaels is my own personal ghost, a shadow hanging over each phone call, a cup of iced tea. And one cold day, when age has robbed your mind of its fertile phrases and your hand of its dexterity, all the success won't be able to shield you from the pain you've caused and the shame you deserve. Or something like that. But now I know I can never actually say it to him.
No. You have to say that. You have to say it now. Now is the perfect time. It is the perfect time. You're on top of the world. You just wrote a song for the biggest act in the universe.
But I can't.
Yeah, you can. People wait all their lives to see an ex-lover when things are going really well. It never happens. You can make relationship history here.
But I can't. I mean, look at me. I haven't showered in days. I'm covered in songwriting grime. The helicopter flew bugs into my teeth.
Yes. You are a little mangy. Wait, stay.
He hurries out, leaving Sophie frowning and sucking what bugs there may be between her teeth.
Sorry, Gloria, can I ask you a great favor? Could you accompany me to the ladies' room?
He's a good guy. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Sure. Right there. Mm-hmm.
Chris purses his lips. Shortly, Gloria's wearing Sophie's stripy top and Sophie's in Gloria's red dress. They come out to show the result to Alex.
That's fantastic.
You look great. 11 years of therapy and I finally helped someone. Good luck, honey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, doctor.
It doesn't really fit.
No, on the contrary, it fits you perfectly.
Really?
Well, I'm not saying you should get a concession like that, but from what you're about to do, it's perfect. Okay, are you ready?
I think I'm developing a sudden coronary blockage.
Those pass very quickly, okay?
Shortness of breath, blurred vision. Scurvy?
Alex ushers Sophie towards Sloane.
I said, I don't write bestsellers because I despise humanity. And I said, no, John, you don't write bestsellers because the feeling is mutual. Should I have stopped right there? Was it over?
She taps Sloane's shoulder.
Sophie. My God, Sophie. How are you?
Sloane kisses her cheek.
I'm fine, yeah.
Good, it's great to see you.
Alex Fletcher, hi, how are you?
Hey, Alex, Sloane, Kate,
yeah.
How are you? Well, it's been an eternity. Well, you look incredible. Then you were always mysteriously seductive, weren't you?
She is writing a song for Cora Coleman.
What? No. Wait, you're a songwriter?
I wrote...
Brilliant lyrics. Fantastic lyrics. A lot of people are talking about them, actually.
Really?
I mm-hmm. had a pen... paper and wrote.
Sloane, the thing is, even though Sally Michaels only lives on paper, Sophie lives in the real world, and she can never forgive you.
The table's ready.
Oh, great. Thanks, Stefan. Listen, I'll be right there, guys. I'm sorry. They're throwing this little dinner thing for me. It's crazy how lavish people get, no matter how cheap they are, when Hollywood comes calling.
Hollywood?
Yeah. Yeah, I've completely sold out. They're making a film out of Sally Michaels.
Really?
Yeah. It's been crazy. I wrote the script. We're seeing actresses. It's been, you know. Yeah. But listen, it's great seeing you. Let's get together, okay?
She nods and Sloane kisses her cheek.
Take care of yourself.
He glances at Alex.
Take care, Alan.
And leaves. Sophie looks a little dazed. Alex looks a little disappointed.
Well, must feel good to get that over with.
She looks sideways at him as he turns the corner of his mouth down.
I just want to go home.
Okay. Hang on. One sec.
Alex taps Sloane on his shoulder. He stands.
I'm so sorry to bother you. It would mean the world if you just let us say what you came to say.
Yeah, I know what you came here to say. Okay? Some sad little story about how I ruined her life. While the truth is that... she seduced me so that I'd help get her published. Okay?
Oh, come on. You were engaged and you never even told her.
I'd say we're done talking.
He dismissively taps Alex on his shoulder, turns his back, and sits down. Sophie's frantically waving him over, but he taps Sloane on the shoulder again.
Do me a favor. Why don't you just shove off?
I appreciate the request, but why don't you just shove off?
They push each other.
Take it easy, friends.
Oh, I don't believe I would take it easy.
Sloane goes tumbling. Chris hurries over.
Right.
Sloane armlocks Alex.
Yeah. He's working Adventureland this weekend.
I've given up. My face is in the butter.
Later, Sophie leads a limping Alex into his apartment.
Thank you. Ow.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
It's just my pop hip. It comes from years of doing our patented dance move. My God, I've suffered for my art. No, the thing that really hurts is my upper gum. I think I may have impaled myself on a dinner roll. It's a very good thing they didn't have breadsticks. I could have lost an eye.
Well, you should get some ice on that.
Only if it's attached to some whiskey.
I can't believe you convinced me to do that. Now I'm more of a joke to him than ever. And to top it off, I'll have my own personal nightmare playing on 3,000 screens. And you know what the worst part is?
You stole some poor woman's dress?
The worst part is that he still has some kind of power over me. I still care what he thinks.
I'm sorry, but how can that possibly be? The guy is a jerk.
Well, it's easy for you to say, but...
No, he is a jerk. He is a jerk. It's not a question. He is a jerk.
But...
No, he is. He's a jerk. Okay, here's what I think. I think that the truth is that you are terrified of losing Sally Michaels because then you'd have nothing to hide behind and you'd have to stand on your own 2 feet.
Yeah. She raises an eyebrow and looks up.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
No, well... I have amazing insight. I would use it on myself, only I don't have any problems. And I will tell you my other insight. I think you are way too talented and gifted and unusual to let anyone keep you from standing.
She stands smiling at Alex, who's on the sofa.
That's wonderfully sensitive, Alex. Especially from a man who wears such tight pants.
It forces all the blood to my heart.
She laughs, sits in a chair next to Alex, presses an ice pack against his neck and holds his face.
Listen, you are amazing tonight.
As were you. The few syllables you got out were absolutely devastating.
She smiles and glances at the ice pack, now pressed against his right cheek.
Does this feel any better?
It would if it was on the right side.
She leans forward and kisses him softly on his left cheek, stroking his face with her hand. She pulls away and they look at each other.
That felt much better.
She moves to place the ice pack on his face, but he pulls back gently and instead cups her face in his hand, brushing his thumb across her lips. They lean together and kiss tenderly. They wrap their arms around each other and kiss passionately before falling to the floor together. Morning in Alex's apartment. A notepad lays on the arm of a chair. Alex opens his eyes and looks to see he's lying beside a sleeping Sophie. He sits up abruptly and bangs his head on the piano they've been sleeping under. Half naked, he grabs the phone.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
How's my hit songwriter?
Hang on, just hang on.
You don't sound right. Maybe it's a connect. Hello?
I have a strange situation here.
Oh, you've got a strange situation? I'm at Beth's soccer game with my ex-wife, who's here with my ex-gardener. They came on a riding mower.
I slept with Sophie.
You slept with Sophie?
Now remember your blood pressure. You are a tall man. You need all the pressure you can get.
Are you out of your mind? This is, Alex, this is terrible. Unless, of course, you're happy about it, and then I couldn't be more pleased for you. Should we do pros and cons?
Not necessary.
I think she's up. I gotta go.
Remember, we got a show today. 2 o'clock. I'm gonna pick you up in a little while. I want you to wear the white shirt with the fan-friendly pants.
I'm going. Too much. Hanging up on you. Hanging up. Good morning.
Hi.
That was Chris just checking in.
So, I'm gonna help clean up a little bit, seeing as we don't have any work today.
Right, fine. Thank you. Well, very nice of you. I mean, I would obviously invite you to stay. It's just that I actually have a show to do today.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. A big one. I am headlining at Adventureland Amusement Park, Long Island's family fun center, biggest outdoor amusement center east of Rye Playland. You have my permission to be impressed.
Sounds great. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So?
She smiles and nods.
I mean, you could come.
At Adventureland, a log flume ride splashes down into water. A model train chuffs past. Bumper cars spark and a female crowd watch Alex perform a hit on a small stage. Chris and Sophie stand behind the stage, jigging along, smiling broadly. He claps his hands in the air.
Okay, I see everyone clapping.
An old couple sit unresponsive.
Hey, come on, these guys over here online at the little dipper, let's hear you clapping.
Most of the kids aren't paying attention.
Don't, if you don't want to.
A twist of fate makes life worthwhile. You are gold and silver. I said I wasn't gonna lose my head, but then
thank you. Thank you.
He blows the crowd a kiss.
That was great. That was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good show. All right, you gotta do the encore.
Well, do I really have to?
It's in the contract. You wanna do Meaningless Kiss or Dance With Me Tonight?
This is embarrassing. They don't want it.
No, it's not. These songs, they're fantastic. I mean, I've never heard most of them before, but they're full of wonderful melodic surprises, and they're catchy, and they're making people happy, and they're just good. So you should be incredibly proud to sing them.
Well, and you're not just saying that because you've been on the wave ride 3 times.
They're good. Really good.
She smiles enthusiastically at Alex, who turns to Chris.
Okay then. Dance with me tonight, please. And it's not often one grown man gets to say that to another with such joy.
Chris smiles as he cues up the next backing track. Alex turns to Sophie.
Thank you. Okay. Pop face.
He gives a confident crick of the neck and runs back through the curtains onto the small stage. Sophie grins broadly. Chris turns to her and mouths, "Thank you." Alex takes the stage in front of his adoring fans.
It's been so long since I've known right from wrong. Got no job. Sometimes I just sit down and sob, wondering if anything will go right. Oh, will you dance with me tonight?
Sophie waves.
When the sun departs, I feel a hole down in my heart. Put on some shoes.
She waves her mobile phone in the air and sways along with the rest of the crowd.
Wondering if anything will go right. Or will you dance with me tonight? I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. We're the only two off the dance floor. Do you see what I see?
The crowd sway under the clear blue sky and leafy trees of the theme park. Later, in a car...
It's a great show. You should be very pleased.
How much money did we make?
I don't talk business in front of a non-client. You know that.
Actually, I'm thinking about signing with you.
What? Well, thank you, Sophie. That's terrific. Well, then in that case, I don't think it's right to talk about one client's business affairs in front of another client. I'm very discreet that way.
You don't know how much money we made, do you?
I have a ballpark figure.
Is it enough for a nice dinner?
Dinner! I'm supposed to go to Rhonda's for dinner. I'm late. Oh, God, help. You know, she wouldn't yell at me if you came.
Looking expectantly at Alex.
Oh, very well.
Chris looks a little put out.
I can't go.
Leaning forward from the back seat, Sophie looks across at Chris, later at Rhonda's.
I'm losing my mind. You've got me frazzled. Oh, there you go. You're going to love these.
No, that's funny. Honestly.
Oh, no, you trust me. You're going to want me more than that.
Oh.
Say when.
When, Rhonda, thank you. Oh, thank you. That's
so
plenty.
Thank you. One more, trust me. No. Listen, now, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I'm about to open a new Wait Not in Boca, and I was wondering if maybe you'd like to perform.
Sounds wonderful. I performed at a fat farm once. They loved me. I threw out little treats from the stage. They went crazy. It was like a dietetic Altamont.
That's funny. No, honey. No cell phones at the table.
Could be Jesse calling about the meeting.
Break the rules. What'll the kids think? Don't do it. I'm sorry, Alex. Very rude.
Weirdo, is there a way we could go to the horror show? That would be so cool.
Yeah, we could work that out, right?
I believe we can. We've become very close
friends. Please don't bug them with stuff like that, okay?
Sorry. Apologies. I know the rules. Turn it off.
Oh, no, honey. You go right ahead. You're a guest.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to call Jesse back? Well, I'll be very quick. Chris, yes. Say that again. Chorus people, what?
What? Is it about the song?
Really?
Well, what does he say?
Yeah, no, it's Sophie. Really? Okay, got it. Cora is back in town tomorrow and wants to meet us at her studio to work on the song. And she wants to know if we like wheatgrass.
Sounds ominous.
Are you worried?
I don't.
Because if you're not worried, I'm not worried.
No.
Like that. You've got your worried eyes.
Well,
you look like a little worried doggy.
She pulls a silly face, while Rhonda and Gary grimace at Alex and Sophie's couply giggling. Later, Rhonda's in the kitchen alone.
Sophie, bring those dishes in here, hon.
She scrapes the last of Alex's mashed potato into the waste disposal and heads into the living room.
Okay, honey, you lead. I'll follow.
Alex is boogieing away on the computer game dance mat. Rhonda sees Sophie looking captivated.
What? Nothing, just looking.
Sophie narrows her eyes.
What?
Well, look, as your older sister...
7 years older.
Oh, now that's just uncalled for. Why do you do that? It hurts, you know?
Uh-huh.
Look, I like Alex, you know? I mean, he's Alex Fletcher. So hot. And he ate my mashed potatoes.
Yes, it was a magical evening.
But look, hon, you don't fall a lot. And I've seen the way you look at him, so if you are falling for him, just please, please make sure he's passionate about you.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not falling. We're just working together, you know? And besides the one time we slept together, it's been totally professional.
You did not! You slept with Alex Fletcher?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God!
Shh!
Okay.
Don't worry about it, all right?
Okay.
Besides, you know, how do you know who's passionate?
Huh. You know, I think you just see it in their eyes. You feel it in their touch. In Gary's case, it was when he said to his mother, I'm marrying her anyway. God, I hate her. I don't know, I think it's just when they do something extraordinary. So just be careful, okay?
Okay.
Rhonda brushes the back of her hand against Sophie's cheek. Sophie bites her lip and heads back into the living room to find Alex leading Gary and the kids through a dance routine. Out on the street.
Well, that was fun.
It was. Except for those potatoes. It's what I imagine eating its elation would taste like.
So, Cora, tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow, 10 o'clock, her studio, 19th Street.
Should I meet you there?
That would be fine. Although I was going to take a cab, and seeing as I live just a little bit further uptown than you, I could, theoretically, pick you up.
You could, if I was on the street at, say, like, 9:40.
Then I would probably see you, depending, obviously, how brightly you were dressed.
Well, I wear, like, bright orange, so you couldn't miss me.
Perfect. Then you could get some road work done while you wait.
Sophie smiles sweetly. Alex looks a bit lost. Sophie's grin broadens.
Well, goodbye, and thank you. Thank you very much for this. Enjoyed it.
Thank you for your support today.
Thank you. Today was great.
It was.
Okay. Bye.
Goodbye.
They kiss. Alex presses his lips together, then cups Sophie's face in his hands and kisses her again.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
They grin and walk off in opposite directions. They both turn back at the same time and wave to each other, then walk on. Alex emerges from his bathroom and flops onto his waterbed. He picks up a copy of The Incredibly True Story of Sally Michaels and has a read. At home, Sophie sits holding Alex's solo album. On the cover is a moody black and white photo of Alex. Next day, Alex and Sophie are at the studio with Cora and her band.
I want you to hear the new intro to Way Back Into Love. So imagine this. Instead of just starting the song with the piano, we get this heavy Indian thing going, very rhythmic.
Cora unzips her jacket and goes to Derek, who's standing at a sequencer.
Derek, give me a beat, steamy and sticky.
She takes off her jacket.
Boom, boom, kick, boom, boom, kick, boom, boom. Boom, boom, kick, boom, boom.
Way back into love.
She's been living with a shadow on her head.
Wearing a crop top and knee-length black trousers, Cora dances seductively around Alex and Sophie. Alex clicks his fingers to the music. Sophie's unimpressed. Cora's on the floor, running her hands all over her body.
Alex Fletcher, got a new song that's gonna get ya.
Way back into love.
Way back into love.
Derek grins salaciously. Sophie fidgets and turns to Alex.
You know, I think that I will get some wheatgrass after all.
She heads out. Cora holds her hands out.
You don't like it?
No. It's not that. She's had her eye on that wheatgrass since we came in. What you're doing, that thing there, is great. It's steamy and it's sticky, you know? Which just one is normally enough, but the combo's just amazing.
Time for the press shoot.
I really like what we came up with.
Mm.
Oh, and add another verse. It doesn't feel like the song ends yet.
Another verse, right? Yeah, great. That would be an honesty.
And I'm having a little pre-recording session party at my place. I want you both to come.
She and Alex bow.
Great.
I think, though, that...
Yeah. Cheers. Thanks a lot, Ray. Thanks, Derek. Nice one. Don't speak. Don't say anything.
He ushers Sophie outside.
You didn't actually like that orgasm set to the Gandhi soundtrack, did you?
Well, I thought it was, you know, horrible.
I mean, it simultaneously destroyed two musical cultures in under a minute. We have to tell her.
No, I don't think we do. Honestly, if she wants to dance, let her dance.
I don't understand. Wait, I'm sorry. I don't understand. Your heroes, the Beatles, Smokey, they would never let this happen.
But that's a completely different thing. They were geniuses, you know? They wrote dinner. I write dessert.
No, you're better than dessert. And that's exactly why I'm going to tell her what I think at the party.
No, you are not going to do that.
Yes, I am.
No, you are not.
Yes, I am.
In that case, you are no longer invited.
What? She invited me.
She invited us as a team. Now that we disagree, we no longer present a united front and are thus unteamed for the purposes of the invitation.
So, are you going?
I might drop by. I don't want to be rude.
Well, I don't want to be rude either.
But you don't think that going to a party and telling the hostess that she's simultaneously destroyed two musical cultures is rude? I'm enrolling you at the nearest charm school.
I have to say what I think. I can't work this way.
What do you mean you can't work this way? You've been a songwriter for 6 days.
God created the universe in 6 days.
And he never had a hit. Okay, he did. He's got the whole world in it.
I'm going to the party.
You are not going to the party. You, young lady, are grounded. You're grounded. Come back here. Please. I'm a little bit desperate. Please.
I'll see you there.
We won't. You won't because you're not invited. They won't let you in.
She's driven away in a cab. That night, a crowd of trendy young things has gathered at the entrance to Cora's high-tech apartment building. A stretch limo draws up. Wearing a suit and an open white shirt, Alex walks into the party. He meets Ray.
Ray.
Hey,
Alex.
My man.
How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good.
So is Sophie here?
You know what? I haven't seen her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Chris?
Who?
You know, my manager.
I'm sorry. Have fun.
Yeah.
Wearing a worried frown, Alex wanders into the big white open-plan space. There's a massive screen with pictures of Cora showing on it. Alex looks up and sees Chris on a glass-walled balcony. Chris gestures for Alex to come up. On the stairs are four mime artists in white bodysuits. They freeze in angular positions with their arms and legs sticking out. Alex awkwardly weaves his way through the foursome and reaches a mezzanine level. As Alex walks up to Chris, Sophie arrives wearing a white coat with black flowers on it and carrying a box. She tries to get past the mime troupe.
Hey, where's Sophie?
Hang on. Oh, God, she's here. Please don't let her through. Listen, we cannot let her talk to Cora. She's going to ruin everything, okay?
Ooh,
Sophie, she hates the song.
She hates the song you wrote?
Yes, she hates it.
But she wrote the song. Why does she hate it?
We had a little disagreement.
Hi there, Sophie, how are you?
Hey, Sophie.
Good evening.
So, you brought something, did you, Sophie?
Yes. My mother told me never go to a party empty-handed, so I went to the Zen Eatery and got a selection of cookies. Thank you.
Cora appears in a funky black mini dress split down the front with buckles across it.
Hey! It's my favorite writers.
I see. How are you?
We brought you some cookies from all of us.
Thank you, Derek.
Cora, I really wanted to talk to you.
About the fact that unfortunately we're going to have to leave early to finish the last verse of this song, which has become so important to us in both an artistic and a spiritual sense.
Mm, you can't leave yet. Come see the house. I want to show you the roof. It's upstairs.
Do you know, well, oh. Yeah.
On the roof.
Cora, I definitely see how much you've thought about this song.
Great roof, really great roof, and in a very interesting place.
Second,
well, right at the top
Sophie
of the house.
Sophie was about to say something about our song.
Which I don't think she was. No, sometimes she looks like she's about to say something and then she just
No, what
up.
I wanted to say is that I appreciate that you're bringing your own special thought to the music, but I really and honestly feel that we're pandering.
Cora's smile fades.
Which means trying to make others like you, which I personally think is a really nice thing. I do a lot of it myself. I'm just going out pandering, dear. I'll be back soon.
The song is about the struggle, you know, to show your true feelings. And your very confident sexual display is, you know, a total contradiction with fear and insecurity.
No, I don't think so, and my fans really love it when I dance.
Yes, you're wonderful.
And my last CD only went to number two.
But in this case, if you trust us,
and Shakira is breathing down my neck, so I want to dance.
She throws up her hands.
You shall dance.
But thank you for your honesty, Sophie. Cherish your passion.
Well, thank you.
Cora, Timberlake's here. What's to say hi?
Nice to see you. Talk to you later.
And I'm looking forward to the new last
verse.
Right,
yeah, great. It's over. It was a very nice try, but you have hit the karmic wall.
With no help from you, you just stood there. Talk about pandering.
I did not pander. I just told her exactly what she wanted to hear.
Well, I'm going to go tell her the truth.
Well, you just did. What are you going to use, flashcards this time? My God, you're stubborn.
And you're not stubborn enough to stand up for what's good. I mean, I just don't want to see you do what you did on your solo album.
Yes.
She frowns.
Bought it. The last copy.
Right, well, I insist on paying you back immediately. $9.99, right? Do you have a penny?
It's like you were trying so hard to get a hit that it wasn't you. The songs were soulless.
I agree. But ours has soul, so.
But not if we ruin it, and you know that. Why are you so scared to care?
Because it won't matter. Because behind all her Buddhism in a thong philosophy, what she cares about is seats filled and units sold, and nothing in the world is going to make her your pal any more than my years with Colin made in mine, because in the end, it's all just business.
What is?
All of it, everything. That's why they call it the music business. And it's a good thing. I actually wish everything in life was that clear. You know, I want something from you, you want something from me. There's no false promises or expectations.
Greg the lyricist comes over grinning.
Wow. Congratulations on your feel-good song.
He stares at Sophie.
Can I get you a drink?
He widens his eyes and raises his brows. Sophie shakes her head despairingly, throws up her hand and walks off. Alex follows. They leave the party, get into a waiting cab, and are driven away. Sophie sits in Alex's apartment, with her notepad on her lap and her pen in her hand. She leans forward, stares into space, and clicks her pen. Alex is sitting at his piano. He turns to her.
There's plenty of time, by the way. We have the whole night, part of the morning, teeniest little bit of the afternoon, so, you know.
Preoccupied, Sophie nods, frowns, and keeps clicking her pen. Thoughtful, Alex places his fingers on the piano keys. Sophie just sits on the edge of her seat with her arms resting on her notepad. She goes to write something, then stops herself. She thinks for a moment, then shakes her head and writes. Alex watches her. She gets up, walks over, and lays the paper and pen in front of him.
I can't read it. What does that say?
She points.
Sorry, I can't do this.
He stares at it for a moment, then plays.
Sorry, I can't do this. Not sure about the sketch. What are you leaving?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I'll think of something later.
There is no later. She needs the song tomorrow. If we don't give it to her, she's going to go to someone else. I will have lost the job.
I'm sorry.
Okay, look.
No, I want to help. I do. I want to help you finish, but I can't. I can't write when I feel like this. I'm not inspired.
I don't care. I don't care if you're inspired. Inspiration's for amateurs. I just want four lines. Please. I just want four lines.
I can't.
Oh, but you can, and you won't.
Are you saying that I wanted this to happen?
I'm saying that's what you do. You push and push and move the furniture around and talk all the time and screw everything up, just like he said.
Who's he? What are you talking about? What are you saying?
I read the book because I wanted to be able to come to you and say, you're not at all like Sally Michaels, but actually, he's got you spot on.
What are you talking about? What are you saying?
I'm saying Sloane Cates was right.
Please take that back.
No. The poor, innocent, helpless, oh, I can't write, she says to herself, girl, has co-authored three quarters of a hit song and is now holding it ransom because she can't get exactly what she wants. You think life is this fairy tale, and when it turns out that everything doesn't end happily, you can't deal with it.
Alex looks Sophie up and down, distraught. She arches her brows. She starts to nod, and without looking at him, walks out. Next day, Cora's in the studio recording a song. Derek's sitting at a mixing desk. Ray walks in with Alex.
See, Alex Fletcher is here.
Hi, Alex.
See, could I have a quick word?
Thanks a lot.
Hey, Derek, how are you?
Well, good Alex to see Fletcher, you. Yeah.
They knock knuckles awkwardly.
How's my girl Sophie, man?
Yeah, no, she's keeping it pretty real.
Yeah, my girl.
See, hi. Listen, it's about the new last verse. It's not completely formed in the classical sense yet. It's more a kind of string of words that you can connect in almost any way. I think it's quite innovative.
I got the lyrics. Sophie faxed them over this morning. They are so beautiful. It's what I always wanted to say to my boyfriend. It's the perfect end to the song.
There are moments when I don't know if it's real or if anybody feels the way I feel. I need inspiration, not just another negotiation.
Alex smiles.
All I wanna do is find a way back.
Alex is startled.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, sorry. Just completely, I don't know, spaced out.
It's okay. Then let's take it from the top with the new intro.
Yep, great.
Sophie and Rhonda carry boxes into the Wait Not Diet Center.
Hi. Hello. Rhonda, I bought these for your children because one should never show up empty-handed. They're aliens. Clearly, I have no children. Yes. Here, let me get that for you.
Thank you.
He takes Sophie's boxes.
I am gonna go to the office.
I am too. Have fun with those.
Bye.
They leave Rhonda holding the grotesque green-headed aliens and go into an office. Sophie points at a stool.
There.
He puts the boxes on it.
So you coming to the concert tomorrow night?
Can't disappoint Lucy.
Oh, yes, very important. Chris is bringing his daughter as well, so should be fun. I just wanted to say I thought your last verse was fantastic.
Thank you, Alex.
And I'm very sorry about what I said.
Well, life isn't a fairy tale, and I have to grow up, but I'm going to do that in Florida.
Well, that's just ridiculous. No one grows up in Florida, unless they're an orange.
Well, I'm managing the new Wait Not branch in Boca Raton.
You should be writing, not fighting cellulite.
Well, I can do both. We need a new marketing campaign. Swimsuit season is coming up.
Thing is...
He points at her emphatically.
I can't.
She looks at him nervously.
compose without you.
Thanks, but I don't think it's a good idea.
Turning her back, she goes to a shelf and moves some boxes. Alex frowns.
Oh, all right, well, you're obviously very busy here.
Sophie carries on working. At a loss, Alex shifts around on his feet.
Good luck.
You too.
She gives him a brief smile and puts some boxes on a pile. Alex goes. Sophie stops to collect her thoughts, then carries on working. His face set in a heavy frown, Alex marches purposely down a street. In a blue studio, Cora leads a troupe of girls in a sexy dance routine. Alex is at the end, swinging his hips from side to side and pointing his arms out in front. A coach comes up and tries to get him to sway more gracefully, but Alex does his old routine, reaching out and twisting his wrists like he's revving a motorbike. Sitting in a square, Sophie holds up a sandwich to take a bite, but the filling drops out onto the pavement. She slumps in disbelief. Evening. Alex sits at his computer screen with a beer. On screen is Dreambox by Sophie Fisher. I put my dreams in a box, so they'll never spoil, hidden from the sunlight underneath the soil. You can never be too careful with a secret, as someone once said. At work, Sophie fills out a form. In Faust Harrison's Pianos, Alex sits at a grand piano by the window and plays as people walk by. At home, Alex moves a chair back to its original position. He steps over to the piano and tries to give it a push. It won't budge. He stands there, leaning against it. Sophie's on her couch reading a paper. She opens it out at a double-page ad for Cora, the Karmic World Tour. At the bottom it says, Special Guest, Alex Fletcher of Pop. Hordes of people make their way towards the grand floodlit entrance to Madison Square Gardens. Showing on a big screen above the entrance are constantly changing images of Cora. Sophie walks up the steps with Rhonda, Gary, and the children. A woman grins at her daughter.
Are you excited?
Sophie stops and turns to the others.
You guys just go. I think I'm going to skip it.
No, come on, kids. I'm going to talk to you here for one sec, okay? Gary, take a minute.
What should I mean?
Just do it. How hard is it, right? You go, you walk, you sit.
You want me to get
Honey,
this?
Honey, I need a second. Thank you. Love you. You're a good man. Now listen to me. Those kids have told all of their friends that their aunt wrote Cora's new hit song. And they want to share this with you. You gotta go in.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't know how I'm gonna go in there and look at him.
Oh, I know. It's just one night, though, and I really think you need this. And then he'll go his way, and you'll go yours.
The excited audience are getting seated in Madison Square Gardens auditorium.
Isn't this exciting?
Sophie sits next to Rhonda, Gary, and the kids. Sophie stands again, looking around and nervously fiddling with her ticket. The audience rise to their feet. Sophie turns to face the front, looking a little disappointed. The auditorium goes dark and a deep midnight blue light washes over the audience. Eight large screens flicker to life in sequence around the stage, showing a flaming image of Cora's face. Flames flicker and blue lights spot the stage on which golden sheets are draped across a large central feature. The crowd wave their show programs and jump up and down enthusiastically. The sheets are pulled from a giant Buddha statue center stage. The video screen shows images of balls of light flying above the Buddha statue as it starts to rotate, to reveal a robed hooded figure standing within. The spotlight illuminates the shadowy figure, revealing a sullen Cora with her blonde locks of hair flowing down her chest. She struts down the stairway as flames burst forth and she whips the robe off. Scantily clad in a minuscule black and silver outfit, Cora thrusts and gyrates suggestively with a male dancer. Rhonda covers Lucy's eyes, then spots Gary and son Charlie rather enjoying the show. She scowls and taps Gary.
Here.
Come on.
Just watch.
Your taste of Buddha's
love. Show your fantasies tonight. And I'll make them happy 'cause I'm not satisfied if I don't get my
and his daughter make their way to seats beside Sophie while Alex is backstage in makeup. A TV's on in the room.
This Tuesday on the CW, it's Battle of the 80s Has-Beens. Featuring Tiffany battling reigning champion Debbie Gibson, followed by a bout between Adam Ant and Billy Idol. Tuesday night on the CW.
5 minutes, Mr. Fletcher.
Alex turns away from the screen and clenches a fist, a thoughtful look on his face. Outside, Cora and her troupe of scantily clad male and female dancers keep the audience going. Sophie's enjoying the show, but by her side, Rhonda wears a jaw-dropping look of mild horror. The lights fade for a moment, then a circle of bright blue spotlights reveal Cora, alone on stage, hands in the air.
It's a new song.
This is it, we are now your song.
Well, I don't think I can listen to this.
A song no one has heard before, written by Mr. Alex Fletcher.
Rhonda's jaw drops. Sophie looks dazed and confused. Alex struts on stage.
What? Alex Fletcher and my sister.
How quickly they forget.
You know what? Let's just go and we'll come back when the song's over, you and me.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna go.
No, what?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Just,
sure?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just want to get one. I'm good. I'll just take care of the business.
Okay.
Alex takes a seat at the grand piano while Sophie picks her way out of the audience. Alex looks around as he plays the first few bars of the intro. Sophie makes her way down the aisle to leave, but is soon stopped in her tracks by the lyrics.
It's never been easy for me to find words to go along with a melody, but this time there's actually something on my mind. So please forgive these few brief awkward lines. Since I met you, my whole life has changed. It's not just my furniture you've rearranged. I was living in the past, but somehow you've brought me back. And I haven't felt like this since before Frankie said relax. And though I know, based on my track record, I might not seem like the safest bet, all I'm asking you is don't write me off just yet.
As Sophie looks up at Alex on a giant screen, his words hit home, making her laugh as a tear rolls down her cheek.
For years I've been telling myself the same old story, that I'm happy to live off my so-called former glories. But you've given me a reason to take another chance. Now I need you, despite the fact that you've killed all my plans. And though I know I've already blown more chances than anyone should ever get, all I'm asking you is don't write me off just yet. Don't write me off just yet.
Alex heaves a big sigh. Rhonda and Gary are first on their feet, clapping enthusiastically. Rhonda glances across at a stunned-looking Sophie and clasps her hands to her chest. Sophie presses her palms together under her chin. The lights swing back into action. Cora and the dancers shake their booty on stage. Sophie's running to the backstage area. After a brief altercation with a stagehand, Derek comes over and lets her in.
Nobody backstage.
Get out there. I know Cora. I
don't care what you want.
I know Cora, though. I wrote
Yeah, I know Carla too.
She's okay.
There's nobody backstage.
My sister's okay, right?
Well, you vouch for her.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
What's wrong with you?
As soon as Cora's done with slam, we'll meet you on stage.
Okay, got it. Thanks very much. Cheers.
A stagehand instructs Alex, then leaves as Alex spots Sophie. She stands, looking afraid as if glued to the spot. Alex slowly approaches her and raises his right hand a little.
You come to a concert, you don't bring anything?
Alex, that song.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. It's the best I could do. You could fix it.
No, that song was dinner.
She clasps her hands to her temples. Alex's brow is furrowed as if looking for her approval. A confused smile beams across her face. He cups her face in his hands and leans to kiss her.
I want you to hear my new single!
But turns to watch Cora.
Thank you! Way Back Into Love, music and lyrics by Sophie Fisher and Alex.
What happened to Steamy and Sticky?
Shanti, Shanti!
Well, I explained to Cora that it violated the very core of the lyric and corrupted the purity of the song. And when that didn't work, I told her it would help me to win you back. And, that did it. Turns out that although she thought the Dalai Lama was incredibly a llama, she is in fact quite the romantic.
Go.
Okay, Mr. Fletcher.
Thank you.
He grabs a mic from a stagehand and runs on stage to join Cora.
I've been hiding all my hopes and dreams away, just in case I ever need them again someday. I've been setting aside time to clear a little space in the corners of my mind. All I wanna do is find a way back into love. I can't make it through without a way back into love. Uh-huh.
Alex shakes his hips while backstage, smiling Derek punches the air. Chris and his daughter exchange a smile. Rhonda, Gary, and the kids clap along. Elsewhere in the audience, glum-looking Greg, Alex's failed lyricist, puts a finger to his head and pretends to shoot himself, slumping his head back.
I'm open to your suggestions.
All I wanna do is find a way back into love.
The audience clap and swing along.
I can make it through without a way back into love. And if I open my heart to you, I'm hoping you'll show me what to do. And if you help me to stop again, you know that I'll be there for you in the end.
Alex leans to Cora and whispers something. She nods and he runs off into Sophie's arms. Cora glances backstage and smiles at the embracing couple. Alex and Sophie kiss passionately as Alex lifts her into the air and Sophie wraps her legs around his waist. The lights fade. On a table, a published song sheet entitled Way Back Into Love, music and lyrics by Alex Fletcher and Sophie Fisher. ITFC audio description, written by Matthew Vickers and Jonathan Horniblow, was read by Sarah Mennell. Over Pop's hit video, info bubbles pop up. Pop had 6 number one hits from 1984 to 91. They sold over 20 million records. Colin created a huge controversy when he declared Pop to be bigger than the Beatles. Colin went on to explain that he meant literally bigger because there are 5 of us. Pop pioneered the famous Pop dance move. Pop's guitarist and bass player recently had hip replacements. In 1994, Colin was voted world's sexiest man. In 94, Alex was voted favorite performer at the Nebraska Tractor and Thresher Show. Alex and Colin met at university. Alex met his new writing partner, Sophie Fisher, when she came to water his plants. Fletcher and Fisher have since written 5 top 40 songs. They now live together, and all their plants are plastic. They sing all of their songs to their doorman, Khan, before finishing them. Khan is tone-deaf, but extremely supportive. Sophie's sister Rhonda runs Weight Not Incorporated. Their special chicken cutlet frozen dinner has only 74 calories. Sophie Fisher was the inspiration for the character of Sally Michaels. The movie The Incredibly True Adventures of Sally Michaels was written by National Book Award winner Sloane Cates. Rolling Stone called it the worst movie of this or any year. That was the film's best review. A twist of fate makes Pop was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2006. In the ceremony, the band performed together for the first time in years. Colin injured himself doing the famous Pop dance move. He is scheduled for a hip replacement. Alex performed a new Fletcher Fisher song at Cora Corman's wedding. The party lasted 9 hours. The marriage lasted 3. Alex and Sophie are writing songs for Alex's first solo album in years. His hip appears to be fine. The titles roll up beside scenes of Alex and Sophie living and working together. Produced by Martin Schaefer, Liz Glotzer. Executive producers, Nancy Javonin, Hal Gaba, and Bruce Berman. Director of Photography, Xavier Perez-Grobet. Production designer, Jane Muskie. Editor,